Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is February 2nd. Today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 4. So let's take a look in verse 16 of Luke chapter 4. It says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Now, it's interesting. Some people interpret this scripture in different ways, right? Some people say it was his custom to go to synagogue. Others say it was his custom to read in synagogue. I'm more of the mind frame that it was his custom to go to synagogue, to go and to worship there. Now, the reason why I don't think it was his custom to read at synagogue is because according to everything that I've studied, only those who were rabbis or teachers in the religion would stand up to read and to expound on the scriptures. And to read or to expound on the scriptures, to be a rabbi or a teacher, you needed to be 30 years old. Here we know that Christ was recently 30 years old, and so I don't think it was his custom or his tradition to read and expound on the scriptures in his synagogue because he just barely turned the age where he was able to do that. So I think that it was his custom and his tradition to go to synagogue, to worship, to learn there. So he goes and he stands up to read and expound on the scriptures. And listen to what it says. Verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias," which is Isaiah, right? "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Now, we'll get into all those specific things that the Savior can do for us. But first of all, I think it's really interesting to note that if you were to compare these verses side by side with the verses in Isaiah, you would see some small and some subtle differences. Now, I don't think those differences are enough to really be shocking or to learn big different things studying them side by side. But what I do think is interesting is in Isaiah, we have those verses as originally translated from Hebrew, and here we have those verses as originally translated from Greek. And that difference between translating it from Hebrew and translating it from Greek makes a decent amount of difference. These scriptures are a little bit different because of those different translations. Now, the reason why that's important and the reason why I bring it up is that sometimes the church or the Book of Mormon comes under fire because Isaiah is quoted a little bit differently in the Book of Mormon than it is in Isaiah, or because Moroni quoted Malachi a little bit different than we find it in Malachi. But let's keep in mind these differences in translation. Here, Christ's words from the book of Isaiah were translated from Greek. And because they were translated from a different language, it's a little bit different than the original translation from Hebrew. And so shouldn't we expect that same sort of thing? And shouldn't we give that same sort of grace as we see slightly different translations from Reformed Egyptian in the Book of Mormon, from the Hebrew found in the Old Testament? Or shouldn't we grant that grace that Malachi, as translated from Hebrew, is different than Malachi as delivered from an angel? I think that that's just a really interesting thing to think about and to understand as we see the differences in translation of the same scripture. But let's get more into the meat of these verses and talk about what it says and what we can learn. First of all, Christ stands in front of his home ward, right, his home synagogue, and he opens the book of Isaiah to these specific verses. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So let's pause right there. First of all, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Now, I think that that's really significant because, remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title that Jesus has, a title which means the anointed. And so here he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I have been anointed." In fact, I have this verse cross-referenced to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, which says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That blessing of being anointed by God carries with it the blessing of the Holy Ghost and having power in our lives from the Holy Ghost. Here, Christ is anointed by God, and because of that, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. But my friends, in our lives, if we have had the blessing of going to the temple and experiencing the anointing for ourselves, we also have been anointed to have the Spirit in our lives and power from the Spirit in our lives. But what's interesting is to pay attention to the purpose for which he has been anointed. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen to what Elder Holland has to say about that. He says, from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus loved the impoverished and the disadvantaged in an extraordinary way. He was born into the home of two of them and grew up among many more of them. We don't know all the details of his temporal life, but he once said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Apparently, the Creator of heaven and earth and all things that in them are was, at least in his adult life, homeless. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, and he had a special place in his life for the poor, the downtrodden, the cast off. But as we're going to learn about in a couple weeks, he also wants to preach the gospel not just to the poor, but to the poor in spirit. In fact, most of his purposes that he's going to talk about here, as he quotes Isaiah, are spiritual more than temporal. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, he wasn't a heart surgeon, as our current prophet is, but he has the ability spiritually to heal our broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives, to help us understand that as much as we might bind ourselves through our sin, he is here to liberate us through the atonement. Recovering sight to the blind. I think it's significant that he doesn't just say give sight to the blind, but recover sight to the blind, meaning the blind who he's helping here are people who have previously seen. So doesn't it fit perfectly to understand that this is a spiritual blindness that he's healing? He's not just giving sight to the blind, he's helping those who once saw spiritually to see again, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Remember in Isaiah 53 when it says he was bruised for our iniquities? I think it's a beautiful thing to understand that he was bruised with the purpose to deliver those who are bruised, who are hurting. If we will allow him to, he has that beautiful ability to heal. Speaking of these purposes that the Savior has, listen to how Sherry Dew put it. She said, "The Lord has promised to heal our broken hearts and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to give power to the faint, to heal the wounded soul, and to turn our weaknesses into strengths, to take upon him our pains and sicknesses, to blot out our transgressions if we repent, and to loose the bands of death. He promised that if we will build our lives upon his rock, the devil will have no power over us, and he has vowed that he will never leave us or forsake us. There is simply no mortal equivalent, not in the terms of commitment, power, or love. He is our only chance. Our responsibility is to learn to draw upon the power of the atonement. Otherwise, we walk through mortality relying solely on our own strength. And to do that is to invite the frustration of failure and to refuse the most resplendent gift in time or eternity. In other words, he knows how to succor all of us, but we activate the power of the atonement in our lives. We do this by first believing in him, by repenting, by obeying his commandments, by partaking of sacred ordinances and keeping covenants, and seeking after him in fasting and prayer, in the scriptures and in the temples. My friends, it's my testimony that the Savior has come to spiritually heal us all, to help us to see, to lift up the poor in spirit. But his power to do those things for us is limited if we won't allow and seek out that power in our lives, if we don't allow him to heal our heart, if we don't allow him to deliver us, if we don't allow him to heal us. It's my testimony that he is anxious to be our Savior and anxious for his atonement to encompass our lives, to lift us up, to raise us up, and to make us whole. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.